to speak to your people today, what you want to speak to your children. And Lord, you know them like I don't know them. You know them so intimately. You wove their very lives together. You know every hair in their head. Lord, you know their hearts. And so, Lord, you come speak through me this morning. You come have your way here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to talk with you this morning about how do we know as God's children, God's voice? How do we know his voice? And what does it sound like? Can I know for sure that it is God's voice? How do I know it's God speaking to me? How do I know it's just not my conscience, my own thoughts, or the devil? And it's interesting, this week, or actually it's been over the past 2-3 weeks, this question has come up quite a bit as I've been meeting with people and in different places. And so I thought, isn't that interesting? It's just been a kind of a popular theme for me and talking with people, whether it's been in counseling or just over different places that we've been. But people really, it seems like kind of a popular topic. So I thought, why don't I just preach on that this morning and talk a little bit about God's voice? How do we know it? Can I know it for a surefire fact? Like, can I know 100% it is God speaking to me? It's interesting. I'm sure some of you probably have. Anybody ever asked this question before at some point in their life, right? Like, am I hearing God's voice? How do I know it's him? How do I know it's not the enemy? How do I know it's just not my own thoughts, my own conscience, my memory coming to front? And it's a valid question. I think we need to talk about it. I remember when I was in Bible college, I really, really wanted to know God's voice. And I wanted to know for sure, like, how do I know his voice? How do I know what it sounds like? Like, how do I know that he's speaking to me? And so I approached one of my Bible college professors that I really admired and had a lot of admiration for. And so I went into his office and knocked on his door, and he welcomed me in. And he said, Chad, he could see that I was deep in thought. He said, is there something I could do for you? I said to the professor, I said, how do we know God's voice? Like, how do we know we're hearing God's voice? And I'm waiting for this dissertation of conversation. And all he tells me, he looks me in the eye and he says, you'll know. And he said, that's it? That's all you got for me? You'll know? Can we break this down and flesh this out a little bit? But that's all he had. And he didn't move from there. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm still back at square one, I feel like. I remember at this other Bible college that I was at, I remember going to the storage room, and it was the only place you could find quietness there. Our hall was so loud. And I remember in the dorm room, I went to the storage room where all the stinky hockey equipment and everything were. And I didn't care because I could lock it from the inside and nobody could get to me. It was quiet. And I went in there, I locked the door, and I said, okay, God, I'm not going to move till you speak to me. And I know it's your voice. And I sat in there for hours and hours and hours. Anybody ever done something like this before? Right, yeah, right? Done it for hours until finally I couldn't take the smell anymore. And I ended up getting up and leaving. Right, well, God, I want to know your voice. I want to know what your voice sounds like. I want to know that it's you talking to me. I want to know your will for my life. And how am I going to know your will for my life if I don't know if it's your voice or not? Or if I'm not sure if I'm hearing you right? I want to do your will, so come speak. As we hear you speak in the Bible to different people over the centuries. I remember one of my mentors from India, Alex is his name. We can't pronounce his Indian name, I'm sure you've heard me talk about before, but his English name is Alex. And Alex told me when he first came to Christ, he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. For 3 weeks, he fasted and prayed because he too, God, come speak. I want to know your voice. So would you come and speak to me? Can we know God's voice for sure? Can we know that it's Him speaking to us? Can we be convinced at some point on our journey that, yes, I know the Lord is speaking to me and I know it's Him? Or do you believe it's like finding a needle in a haystack? I don't know if I'm ever going to discover it. I've been walking this Christian life for so many decades and I'm still unsure. At least that's been my experience as I've traveled from country to country, working with different Christians, pastors, leaders even. And still asking the dangerous question, even after they've journeyed the Christian life for a while, I hope I'm hearing His voice. Can we know for sure? Whose voice am I hearing? I remember when I was pastoring out in Lower Mainland, BC, I had this woman come to my office and she was absolutely distraught. She was absolutely distraught. And this lady also, she was my hairdresser. She would cut my hair. She was from the church. And she came into my office in an absolute, like, she was in a panic is the best way. She was in an absolute state of panic. And she come in and I said, "Sister, what's going on? Sit down." And she was absolutely beside herself. And she said, "Pastor Chad, I have to share something with you that just happened this morning. I came straight over as soon as I finished cutting this person's hair." And I said, "Well, what is it?" She goes, "Well, I was cutting this man's hair this morning and I had a thought." And I said, "Well, what was the thought?" She goes, "Well, I had this thought of me taking the scissors and jamming them in his neck repeatedly over and over." And she was beside herself. And I looked at her and I said, "Well, you don't have that thought when you're cutting my hair, do you? Note to self, let's change my hairdresser." But she was beside herself. She goes, how could I have that thought? Like, is that thought of me? Did that come from me? Like, am I that bad? Am I evil? Like, where does that thought come from? Like, is it me? Or is that from the enemy? Or did that come from my own mind? How many of you who have driver's licenses ever been driving in your vehicle and you're coming around a corner of a cliff and it's a big drop off and you thought, "What would happen if I just did this?" Anybody have that thought? Let's be honest, right? That's a crazy thought, isn't it? That's an absolutely insane thought. Where would that thought come from? Is that a revelation of me? Or is it a revelation of the enemy? Who here has been tempted before? Right, we've been tempted to do some not very good things, right? And is temptation, is that a revelation of what's in me? Does temptation equal desire? Because I'm tempted, it doesn't mean I desire it, right? Well, if temptation equals desire, then he who's tempted the most probably has the most ugliest heart, don't they? If that's true. And who was tempted in all things? Jesus. Did he have an ugly heart? No. See, but as I've met with believers, they believe that without taking time to step aside and defining, okay, is this me? Is this the enemy? Who is this? And the fact that the temptation kind of makes you go, "Oh, I don't like it and I want to be far apart from it," can only come from being near to Christ. Amen? Because those who aren't near, it's enticing, isn't it? I kind of want it. I'm going to get a little closer to it, a little closer. Right? It's not a revelation of you. We have to be able to break this down and understand where that thought comes from. Is it my own voice? Is it the enemy? Is it the Lord? What does His voice sound like? Can I ever know? I remember we ran into this guy who was absolutely convinced he could never hear God's voice. I'll never find it out. I'll never discover what His voice is. I've been walking this Christian life, he said, for many, many decades now. And I'm convinced I'll never hear God's voice. I'll never know for sure if it's His voice or not. And we said, "Well, yes, you can." He said, "No, I can't." I said, "Yes, you can." He said, "No, I can't." I said, "Yes, you can." He said, "No, I can't." I said, "Yes, you can." And so my friend who was with me, he brought it to DEFCON 4. We're going all the way to the top now. He said, is there prostitutes in this town? And he said, yes. He said, can you go? Is there liquor stores? Yeah. Can you go get drugs? He said, okay, go get a prostitute. Go buy some drugs and go buy some liquor. And you know, the guy was mad enough, he actually left. He left the conference. I looked at my buddy. I said, you sure that was the right thing to say? Anyways, 2 hours later, he called the conference center and asked for us. And we picked up the phone, said, hello. He said, it's me. He said, I heard his voice. I said, oh, what did he say? He said, no. I said, well, amen. Now you take that no and let God build on it. You heard it. No, it wasn't of the Lord, was it? You can hear his voice. Everybody close your eyes right now. I promise I'm not going to do anything to you. I'll stay right where I am. Just close your eyes right now, okay? And say your first, middle, and last name in your head. Everybody said it? Okay, now open your eyes. Now, when you said your first, middle, and last name, whose voice did you hear? Yeah, did I hear Chad Jai Salin? Is that the voice I heard in my head? I don't know if that's Australian or English, but no, I heard my own voice. Right? So how is God going to speak to you through? It was interesting. I went to this prayer meeting one time, and I forget where I was, and I was with another person from the church, and we went into this prayer meeting, and the pastor who was leading this prayer time with a whole bunch of pastors in the citywide area, and he came and he met with me, and he was so soft and gentle. He said, hi, Pastor Chad, it's so great to have you here. Welcome here. We're so glad. And he had such a soft and gentle voice. And then when the prayer meeting started, Father, we pray to thee today. And his voice, and it actually scared me because it was such contrast. He was so soft and quiet. And all of a sudden, I don't know, I guess he has his God voice on now. So God can hear him. And he's yelling. And I mean, it was such contrast. My shoulder started to move up and down. Then, oh my goodness, I look, it was the same guy. I remember on one of my travels, this Buddhist monk said to me, he said, why are Christians always yelling at God? Can't he hear a whisper? Well, right? He's probably stayed up too late for late night TV. You see all those televangelists, right? Yelling, can't he hear a whisper? Well, amen, he can. But we have all these different stigmatisms in Christendom on maybe how we need to talk to God or how I need to say certain things or I need to pray in a certain way for God to hear me. We even do that, don't we? Right, we even do that. But can't he even hear? Doesn't it say he can hear a whisper? Right, he can even hear a whisper. Let me read from you from John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10. And I'm going to start at verse 1. Here's what it says. Jesus is speaking. He says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Now I'm going to pause there for a second. You ever been in a big crowd and maybe your spouse or a parent wanted to get your attention? And you could pick out their voice in that big crowd, can't you? Right? Because you know their voice, right? You know their voice. I've been in big crowds before. And I could pick out my wife's voice because I've heard her voice for so long. right? And he's saying, my sheep will know my voice because they know my voice. They do not recognize a stranger's voice, but they know my voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Do you? Do we understand what Jesus is telling us? Verse 7, therefore Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it in its abundance. Let me skip down to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And then let me skip down to verse 22 of the same chapter. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, isn't it interesting? How many of you have heard somebody say to you before, God spoke to me? Right? And how many of you in the past have thought this right after that? Man, I wish I knew that he spoke to me. Right? Right? We think that. And then sometimes we think it's weird when people say, God spoke to me. But Jesus here says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And this is where I found as I've met with different believers in different churches, they start to panic because, oh no, I don't know. I'm not sure of God's voice. I don't know if I know what it is. I don't know. Am I not in the sheep pen? Do I not know his voice? And believers start to panic a little bit. I'm sure some of you have had this journey, right? Do I know? I want to know. I want to know what his voice sounds like. It's interesting that Jesus calls us sheep, right? That is the animal of preference that God calls the children of God. And he says, the sheep know my voice. And there's two kinds of people who deal with sheep, right? The shepherd and the butcher, right? So here's the ultimate litmus test. If God's going to speak to your own voice, well, couldn't the enemy? Couldn't he speak through my voice too then? Could he not? So how do I know if it's God or the enemy? Right? Because the enemy, what did it say? He's there to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Right? Yep. So there's two kinds of people deal with sheep, the shepherd and the butcher. And the butcher's voice is harsh. It's condemning. It's loud. It brings anxiety and worry and fear. Brings depression. It brings bondage. And ultimately brings you death. That's what the shepherd does, the butcher does. But the shepherd's voice, it's light, it's gentle, it's soft. It brings liberty and freedom. It brings an inexpressible joy, as Peter explains that in 1 Peter. It brings freedom and ultimately brings you life. Amen? Amen. So whose voice are you hearing? If you're feeling condemned, whose voice are you hearing? What does it say in Romans? I think we have that passage. Is that passage of Romans there? Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if you're feeling condemned, who's it from? Yeah, it's from the enemy. What about guilt? How many of you felt guilty? There's a difference between conviction and guilt. Right in Hebrews 10, I don't think I gave that scripture, but in Hebrews 10, 22, it says, you have been sprinkled clean from a guilty conscience. You are no longer guilty, but been washed clean and pure by the blood of the Lamb. Right? So if you're feeling guilty, it's not from the enemy. Guilt brings you down and wants you to stay there, but a conviction, you ever notice a conviction kind of frees you? It lifts you up? Right? I can breathe. Thank you, Lord. Yes, you're right. I agree with you. That is not the way. That is not the way. God's goal is always to free us, right? Remember the scripture? It is for freedom that I set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. Now, I promise you, you're going to wake up one day, and all those neat little thoughts that you had about God and life that you thought were yours, you're going to discover it was Him the whole time. You just didn't know it was His voice. He speaks to us through our own voice. And so we shouldn't find it weird when people say, God spoke to me. It shouldn't be weird for you to say, God spoke to me and said. Amen?
Amen.
Well, you can and you will know the voice of God. You can pick it out. We have to be able to judge our thoughts and our emotions, right? Hold every thought, what does it say? Captive. Hold every thought captive to Him, right? We need to judge, or maybe I should say we need to be able to judge our lying thoughts and our lying emotions, right? If you deal with the fear will stay near. If you deal with the lie, the fear will die. You know, everybody says face your fears. It's actually the wrong thing to do, because fear is just a symptom to a deeper issue. We fear because of a lie we believe. The root of fear is actually a lie that I'm believing, and that lie, that it isn't of the Lord, causes me to fear. So if you deal with the fear actually stays near. But if you deal with the lie, the fear will die. Amen? So we always want to go to the root, because the root will actually kill it in my life. If I can go to the root. You can sweep cobwebs if you want, or you can go for the spider. Right? I'd rather go for the spider so I don't have to continually sweep cobwebs in my life. Amen?
Amen?
So we have to learn to judge our lying thoughts and lying emotions. And if you believe you can't hear God's voice, what are the chances you're not going to hear it? Right? Remember in John, I just read, if you'd only believe, believe. Belief is a huge thing. You are a child of God. You've given your life to Him. He will speak through your own voice. Well, how do I know if it's the enemy or the shepherd, the butcher, the shepherd? Well, you'll know. If it's harsh, condemning, brings guilt, loud, brings you bondage and anxiety and worry, that is not from the Lord. That is the enemy's voice. And you know what the interesting thing is? And I'll end on this thought. So I'm 10 minutes over here. Let me end on this thought. That we think actually the enemy speaks in the third person. Meaning this, he'll say to you, you're a horrible Christian. You'll never measure up to God. You'll never be a great Christian. You're not even really saved, are you? We think the enemy talks in the third person, but he actually will talk in the first person singular. And here's what it actually sounds out. I'm not a great Christian. I'm not even sure I'm saved. I'm not even sure if I can hear His voice. Do you understand the difference? Right? He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And it's an ace up his sleeve to trick you, to get you to believe it's actually you. But it's not you. It's a revelation of him, isn't it? So we have to learn as believers to judge our lying thoughts and lying emotions. If you live in truth, you're devil-proof. You live in the lie, you're the enemy's guy. Amen?
Amen.
I got all kinds of catchy sayings for you. All right? Let me just end with a word of prayer. And then we'll go and have lunch. Father God, thank you, Lord, that God, I love that you came to simplify what the religious leaders were making so complicated. It was so complex and complicated. And I love that you came and simplified things. So, Father, I want to thank you for making things simple for us. That you simply said, what is the work that you require of me? Simply to believe in the one the Father has sent. And so, Lord, we declare this morning that we do believe in you. And we declare this morning that we believe we can hear your voice in our lives. And that, Lord, that listening is also an important part. We speak and then we listen to you. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength and shall mount up on wings as eagles. And so, Lord, we'll wait upon you in your voice. I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that as they journey in their life, they recognize it more and more, just like their closest friends, just like their spouses, just like their family, Lord, that they recognize your voice in their life more and more every day. Thank you, Lord, for making it simple. Thank you that you're good. You're a good, good Father. Bless us this week, Lord. May we recognize you in all things throughout the rest of our week until we meet again next Sunday. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen.